Okay, so we're going to finish out where we began. We'll probably only be 2 hours tonight. So,
well worth it. Absolutely.
I have so much fun in this class. How many of you enjoying Sunday's messages? Man, I tell you. Woo! Yeah. Wait till this Sunday. Hang on for the ride. You know, if you want to learn how to have 30, 60, 100-fold blessing, man, this is where you learn it. You learn it this coming Sunday. So bring your mom. Mom can get a mug. We're going to see the children sing. It's going to be a great time. And we're going to hear this message that will transition your life. So, bring your seed. Please bring your seeds. I have them making an extra, bye Kenny, have them making an extra 300 in case people forget. But so bring your little package of seeds on Sunday. You want them. We're going to use them. Okay? All right, we're on page 70. For those who don't have a book, we don't have any more to offer you unless you buy them online right now. They are on order. We ordered 15 more. But if you'd like to buy them on Kindle, you can buy it on Kindle. It's available for you. We're on page 70. We've been talking about can you lose your salvation, or walk away from your salvation. We went through the three major belief systems of salvation. We went through Catholicism. Catholicism, what you do to be saved in Catholicism is you have to be baptized as a child. If you're baptized as a child in Catholicism, you're going to heaven. Now, that's not biblical at all. That has nothing to do with the Bible. That is church history or church tradition, but it's not biblical. So the problem is that it doesn't really work with God. It works with the church, but it don't work with God. There's only one way to get saved, and that's through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, having his blood wash your sins away. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We then covered Calvinism. Calvinism, we identified is the two major groups that believe that are the Baptists and the Presbyterians. We went through the tulip. Go through them quickly. Number one portion of the tulip is that everyone is born into sin. And because everyone's born into sin, anybody who does not ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior is damned to hell. And so if they're damned to hell, that means because they couldn't accept Christ, that means all babies go to hell, all babies go to hell, all miscarriages go to hell, all aborted babies go to hell, all children die under the age of being able to talk definitely go to hell, all mentally handicapped go to hell. That's what the number one portion of Calvinism believes. Number two, they believe in election, which means God has a list. You're either on the list or you're off the list. If you're on the list, you're going to heaven. If you're not on the list, you can't go to heaven. If you're on the list, you don't have a choice. You will get saved. And once you get saved, there's no way to be lost because it is called eternal security. So that's what the Baptists and the Presbyterians believe. We are what in this house called Arminianists. And that is mainline denominations besides the Baptists and the Presbyterians. We believe that, yes, everyone has been born into sin. It's called the Adamic nature, but that God does not damn the innocent. God never throws and destroys those who don't have even the capability or opportunity of receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We believe it's God's will that all will be saved, that there aren't just a few that have been chosen to be born again, but God desires everyone to be born again, and that everybody has free will choice. Everyone can accept Christ or reject Christ. It is their choice to be saved or not to be saved. No one can take it away from you. Only you have the opportunity to walk away from it. The major difference between Calvinism and Arminianism is simply this. Calvinism eliminates free will. Arminianism believes that you and I have the free will not only to be saved, but also to walk away if we want to. We've all known people, the Bible calls it backsliding. We've all known people that have backslidden, walked away from the Lord. Come on in. Come backslidden, walked away from the Lord, and are no longer serving Christ. That is the right of having free will. But not all, like I said, if you're a Calvinist, you don't believe that you have that. You believe if you've been saved, you're on the list, you're born again. Now you are eternally saved. No matter what you do, no matter how you live, it really doesn't matter. Holiness is not the issue. So, we didn't give an opportunity last week for asking questions about that. For those who weren't here For the more detail, I just gave a quick summarization. For the more details, you can go on our website, histabernacle.com. Go to our online campus. And on there, we have what's called archives. All of the Rock Solid Faith are on there. So everything that we have is right on that. All the church services are on there, and Rock Solid Faith is on there. So if you want to get the more detailed factor between the difference of Calvinism, Arminianism, and Catholicism, and we also went through Lutheranism and Episcopalians, and if you want to know those, then you need to jump online. Okay, did anybody have any quick questions? Anybody have any questions concerning these three mainline beliefs? Okay, so let's get into it. We're on page 70. Can I lose my salvation? The answer is absolutely not. You cannot lose salvation. Losing salvation is like I lost a dollar bill. You can't lose salvation. So there, it's very important for you to know that, because some people, they live unstable. They don't have... How do I say this? They don't have a stability in their relationship. They're always wondering, am I going to hell? 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 They're not stable in their walk with the Lord. And the Lord wants you to know that nobody, when you've been saved, when you truly, genuinely accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no way to lose your salvation. But you can walk away from God. And that, again, is saying you have free will. Now, if you've ever seen that, I personally have seen it so many times, I can't even number them, where somebody has a genuine God experience, genuinely been born again, genuinely been changed, and then they go back to the world. The scary part is, when they go back to the world, they're putting themselves in a position, because there's no greater trophy to the devil than somebody who once served God. So we've got to make sure we guard our faith. You got to guard your faith. Now, how do I accept Jesus? First of all, you must recognize that you're a sinner. Romans, it's called the Romans Road. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, showing that you need a Savior. If you accept Jesus Christ, I already quoted that verse, and it makes the declaration, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, for the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So salvation is the recognition that you are a sinner and that you need salvation. We have a large part of the world that believes that there are no absolutes. Does everybody know what that means? That there is no right or wrong. The Bible says in the last days, that's what's going to happen. Also says in the last days, what's going to occur is that the people will call good bad and bad good. It's called becoming a reprobate. Does everybody know what a reprobate is? A reprobate is a person who no longer knows right or wrong. Have you ever been around somebody who lies so much they don't even know when they're lying anymore? They're so convinced of their lies that they don't even believe they're lying anymore. And you've caught him in six lies in the first minute and a half. That person many times has become reprobate. What that means is their conscience has been seared. What does that mean? That means they no longer feel conviction. They no longer feel wrong. They no longer have moral value or aptitude. They are people that are amoral. They have no moral lines. Everything is good. And we need to know that that's not God. Sin will destroy you. The wages of sin is death. That's just valid. That's just what it is. The challenge is there is a whole group of people on our planet now that doesn't even believe that sin exists. And they want the church to, to be accepting of all things. Well, you know, we got to accept everybody and we got to accept everything. You know, without question, Jesus loves everybody. Can I hear an amen? Amen. There's not one person he doesn't love. Jesus died for everybody. His passion is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the reality is that sin is sin. And whether it's a lie or whether it's homosexuality, whether it's a lie or a murder, sin is sin. Sin does the same thing all the way across the board. What does that do? It separates you from God. Now, there are two sins that are different from all other sins in the scripture. Everybody say two.
Two.
Number one is called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. What is blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Blaspheming the Holy Spirit can only be done according to Hebrews chapter 6. I believe it's verse 3. Can only be done by a person who's been saved and spirit-filled and knows exactly what's going on. I had an aunt who backslid one time, and she came up to me crying, and she said, I think I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And I said, do you have a desire for God? She said, yes, I want to get right with Jesus. I said, then you've never blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That's the only unpardonable sin, is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Who draws you to God? The Bible says no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So there's a drawing of the Holy Spirit. The job of the Holy Spirit is to convict you of sin and that you be drawn to salvation. So what happens is this, is that a person with clear understanding knows exactly what they're doing, not by accident, but by clarity of mind. And I've met very few people that have ever blasphemed the Holy Spirit, have told the Holy Spirit, I want nothing to do with you. I want no conviction. I want nothing to do with God. And it wasn't an emotional reaction. It was a clear, conscious decision. The way you know whether you've ever blasphemed the Holy Spirit or not is this. If you ever have a desire for God again, you know you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Anybody said, shoo. If you ever have a desire for God again, you know the Holy Spirit's drawing you. That means you've never committed the unpardonable sin. The second sin that is different from all other sins is sexual sin. The Bible says in Corinthians that when you have sex with somebody you're not married to, that you're actually committing sin not only against God but against your own body. They've actually can prove scientifically, medically, that whenever semen is released within a woman's body, that DNA is now in the woman's body for the rest of her life. The two shall become one flesh. We have a whole group of young people, young men and young women, who are experiencing divorce. They're teenagers, they're young adults. They're experiencing emotional divorce because when they have intercourse, it's not just a physical act, it is a spiritual act. So what occurs is they become one flesh. So what ends up happening when there's a breakup, especially for the lady, there's an emotional tearing. So we have a lot of people that are very, very wounded because they are participating with sexual sin when that is definitely spoken very clearly by the Lord as this. Run from sexual sin. He didn't say trot. He didn't say waddle. He said run. Flee fornication. Flee it. Run from it. Don't get near it. And just study it, man. How many times, especially in the book of Corinthians, that he says stay away from sexual sin. Because it is not the same kind of sin as another. Now, will it send you to the same hell? Of course it will. You know, sin is sin is sin. But the effects on it are far greater upon the person. So these two sins are different. The great part is that Jesus forgives every sin. Amen. That really wasn't too convincing, and I just want you to know that. Jesus forgives every sin.
Amen.
Now, the challenge, I'm going to take it one step further. The challenge is, and we talked about reprobate, fornication, when you're talking about sex between a man and a woman when they're not married, is, again, committing a sin against your own body and against the Lord. But also, there's another sin that's one step further, that is when a man and a woman leave the burning of how God created them and they move into homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people don't like to talk about this. Churches dance with this, but you can't dance with this. It's found in the book of Romans. It's very, very simple. And it is this. God says they leave the affection for the opposite sex and they start burning in their heart for the same sex. What ends up happening is they are the ones that become reprobate the quickest. If you look in the scripture, Romans chapter 1. So a homosexual, why that sin is so damaging, not only is it fornication, you're having sex with somebody that you're not married to, and of course, God always speaks very clearly. He did not create Adam and Steve, he created Adam and Eve. Listen, you need to know what the Bible says. It's very important. Because the world is telling the church we've got to be all-inclusive. But the fact is that God's not all-inclusive. You know what the most damning, horrific thing you could ever do to somebody? Is placate them to the place of believing they're okay and going to heaven, and they're not. Well, you know, God accepts everything. God accepts everybody. There's, God looks over that all sins, and everybody's going to heaven. All dogs go to heaven. How horrible would it be waking up on the other side and recognize you didn't make it? So in this church, we know it's not politically correct according to acceptance from everybody. We know it doesn't make everybody happy even in our church. But we do have homosexuals that come to our church, lesbians that come to our church. We're just very straight up. We don't dance. We're not ashamed of the gospel. And they know our stance, but they know we love them.
Amen.
Amen. So, but it's important to recognize that that sin brings a person to reprobate where they don't recognize right or wrong. The Bible says he gives them over to themselves. It's a dangerous place. And right now, what we found probably, probably the last 10 years, there's been a large insurgence of homosexuality starting in the school systems.
Amen.
And the church has to take stance. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have folks that were homosexual that are in this church today that are no longer homosexual, and they've been set free and their sins have been forgiven, just like a liar.
Okay.
Listen, lying sends you to the same hell as homosexuality.
Okay?
That's not the separation. The separation, what I'm trying to show you, is the effects on the people. Because
yeah.
Whether you like it or not, the effects on people are different for each sin. If you get caught lying, you might get your mouth washed out with soap. You get caught murdering, you're going to prison. Can you be forgiven by both? For both? Absolutely. Does one have a different consequence? Absolutely. So knowing that consequences are different, that each sin has different consequences. There's a need to recognize this. So every sin can be forgiven. Turn to someone and say, every sin can be forgiven. But you must surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not religion. This is why we don't have a membership in our church. Membership will not get you to heaven. The church you go to will not get you to heaven. What you were stamped on the forehead as a child won't get you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and have a relationship with him. That is the only way. And anybody who tells you any other thing, you need to read the book of Galatians chapter 1. The Judaizers came into Galatia after Paul had preached the basic salvation message, and salvation had come to them. And Paul came in, and he left. He went on to the next journey, and in came the Judaizers. They were people that had accepted the Lord, but still held to the Jewish customs. They walked in and said, listen, what Paul said was right. You need Jesus, but you also got to be circumcised, and you also got to follow all the Jewish laws, or you can't go to heaven. So Paul's response was this: let them be cursed with a curse. Anybody who brings any other gospel, whoso bewitched you so quickly, whoso deceived you so quickly, stay to the simple gospel. Even if an angel comes with another gospel, let them be cursed with a curse. Later on, he actually says, let them be emasculated. If you don't know what that is, that would be called a man-made eunuch or a bobbit. So, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit bears witness with you that you are a child of God. That's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And then you start building a relationship. Now, there are a lot of folks who just get saved. They come to the altar, give their heart to the Lord. That's awesome. Yay! But it doesn't stop there. It starts there. That's where you start building a relationship with Jesus. If you can fall in love with Jesus, you can fall out of love with Jesus. So, this is a growing relationship. Relationships aren't always easy.
Amen.
This month will be 26 years with the same woman. There have been a lot of years that we didn't like each other. A lot of them. I said, you know, I honestly said we had two really bad years. She said, no, we had really four. Men are clueless. What are you going to do? So it's a building of a relationship. That means you must spend time with Jesus. There's a delusion that's gone in the church that says this, that I got saved at the altar and now I'm good. Listen, that's Calvinism. That's not Arminianism. That's, oh, I said the prayer, I'm good now. I can live any way I want. No, 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 no. This is relationship. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How do we do that? What do you mean? You mean we should be afraid of God? This should be a... I genuinely was positively afraid of my father. I loved him, but when my father gave me the look, I knew I was dead. I knew if he said I'm going, if I did something wrong, I usually did it at church, and my father would say, when you get home, you're going to get a whooping. He was a contractor. He had big arms, and he had a black belt. Now, he never beat me, but it hurt good enough. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. So it's important to recognize that there is a godly fear. It's called an awe. You respect. You have reverence. You don't sin because you can't. You don't sin because you don't want to hurt the one that you love the most. You don't want to do things that are ungodly, not because you can't. I mean, we have free will. We can do whatever we want. But that I don't want to separate myself from God. There's a reverence and an awe and a respect that is mandatory and necessary. And you've got to build a relationship. How do I build a relationship? Well, you got to pray. Well, I don't know how to pray. We're going to teach you how to pray. Is that okay? We're not going to teach you tonight. Reading the Bible. Well, Pastor, I don't like to read. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like to read. There's other ways to do this. You can listen to the Bible. I brought my phone tonight just to show you. Yeah, but you're okay. Here we go. I'm just talking to somebody. I have an app on my phone. It's called the Holy Bible. That's a good sign. It's right here. It's called YouVersion. It's free for everybody. Free for everybody if you have a phone. You go to the read button. You can choose where you want to read. I want to read the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. Well, I don't really want to read today. Okay, no problem. Hit this button.
Chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
You don't like to read?
Tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it sat upon.
You're getting the word.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
You do that too? I read, I listen. I very rarely have my music on. I'll have this on in my car.
Every man heard them speaking in his own language.
That's the Bible. It's more than impartation. It's feeding your spirit. Just like sitting under a preacher, but you can't get a better preacher than the Word of God.
Amen.
It's called YouVersion, or if you look at it, if you type in Bible, it's the very first one that will come up. So you can listen to the Bible on CD. You must listen to the Word every day.
Amen. Amen.
You must read the Word every day. If you want to survive spiritually, you must be in the Word every single day.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We're getting there. So if you can't read the Word, then listen to the Word. Now, listen, I do a devotional almost every single morning, 5 days a week. It's free. Go on Facebook. It's there for you. Go on our website. It's there for you. It's on Twitter, too. You can pop on there, and I do a devotion. How many of you read the devotional this morning? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What's that?
Read
it out of the book. We have a devotional book, too. We have a devotional book as well. So, listen, there's so many opportunities for you to get the word in you. But if you don't get the word in you, you're not going to live. You will not live and survive in your relationship with Jesus Christ without the word.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to dance with you. I'm not going to make it all pretty for you. I'm going to tell you the way it is. If you don't have a little talk with Jesus every day, if you don't read the word every day, you are going to struggle.
Yes.
I'll prove it to you. I got up in the mirror today and I looked at myself and I said, self, you're fat. Now, see, I was 204 pounds and I started riding bicycle and I immediately gained to 212.5 pounds. I don't care if it's muscle because I could lose 20 pounds of fat and still gain muscle, and I'd be okay with that. But I can't lose the fat. I'm gaining muscle, but my fat has not moved. I can see it jiggles.
So it does move.
It does move. It's right there. It's moving. Put a little smiley face on it and everything. It moves and laugh at you and smile with you. It's horrible. And so today, I made a decision, and I made a decision that I'm gonna just kickstart this thing. I'm just gonna do some little Atkins thing and anger my body a little bit, and I usually lose 5-7 pounds with the Atkins, and I can maintain with no problem. I eat good, I'm exercise good, all's good. But the fact is that if you right now I'm struggling a little bit, and the reason I'm struggling a bit, I haven't had any carbs. And whether you recognize it, you need carbs. That carbs fire your brain.
Yes, they do.
So I'm digging for every bit I'm getting tonight. I've had a great steak. I had cottage cheese. I vomited that up out in my mouth a little bit earlier, but we won't talk about that. I had a hard-boiled egg. You too? I had no carbs. You see, when your body doesn't get what it needs, it doesn't work right. I remember when I used to do the Atkins diet, man. I did it once for a long period of time. And I used to teach Bible school. I would have to bring mashed potatoes to the Bible school because I couldn't think. I couldn't put sentences together. Just wouldn't fire right. And so I'd eat the mashed potatoes and I'd be all right because I'm getting the carbs. Your body needs the word. If you don't have the word of God, you're not going to survive. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot wield the sword of the Spirit without knowing the word. When Jesus was attacked by the devil, what did he use to defeat the devil? The word. You see, the word builds our faith. What do we have called faith? It's called the shield of faith that wards off every fiery dart of the enemy. You see, you cannot thwart the fiery darts of the devil if you don't have the shield of faith, the shield of
faith.
Come on, it's called the shield of
faith.
Well, how is faith built? By the word. So we see people that are struggling in there. They get saved. I mean, genuine salvation. And then the trials of this world, the tribulations of life. And then they walk away. Why? No root. You must read the word or listen to the word every single day. Here we go. You need to go to church. Break the cycle in your life. If you are not being consistent in the house of God, you must break the cycle in your life, not just for you, but for generations. Your destiny is directly attached to the church you go to.
Amen.
I'm going to say it one more time. Your destiny, the ability for you to fulfill God's will in your life, is directly attached to the church you go to. That's why you can't go just to any church. When you go to a church, you're actually doing this, and this is one of the scariest things. You're actually saying to the pastor, Here's my spirit. Mold me. I want to be like you.
Amen.
No, seriously, you need to hear. I'm going to say it one more time. This is why going to just any church is stupid. When you go to a church, you're actually saying to the pastor, remember Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ? That means you're patterning. When you go to a church, you're saying, here's my spirit. I want to be like you in the spirit. I want impartation, for the anointing flows from the head down. I want that. I want what you got.
Amen.
The scary part is, if you don't know your preacher, now I'm not talking like you've gone out to dinner with him. I'm talking in the spirit principles. If you don't know what he believes, you don't know if he prays. Listen, I mean, I pray because I'm not afraid of you. I'm in the Word because I have a responsibility. I got to stand in judgment for every single person that God sends to this church. Hebrews chapter 13 says, I'll give an account for every one of your souls. That don't scare the hell out of you. Nothing does. You know, honestly, this is where we're at, where every one of us must come to this understanding. I must be in the Word. I must be in church. When you come to this church, I'm going to promise I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to give you a word that can build your faith, line upon line, precept upon precept. My job is simple. It's not to visit you in the hospital. My job is not to give you a nice little call and encouragement all the time. My job is to equip you for the work of the ministry, to bring you to unity and to bring you to maturity. That is my job. I take my job extremely serious, again, because I got to stand in judgment for you. So when you come to a church, that is the passion where the Holy Spirit is allowed to move. Listen, you know, Sunday, man, the Holy Ghost was moving in this church. He moved in a powerful way on Saturday night, too. For those who weren't here, so Saturday night was powerful. You know, the men and women of God, the pastors of this church were just set free. They were just rocking and reeling, man, moving in the Holy Ghost all over. And Sunday morning, I felt really bad. Second service for this two young men. It was their very first time in our church, and they had two or three people fall at their feet. Doosh. You know that scared them, I'm sure. You know, some churches will say, we don't do that. We don't want to do that to scare people. Listen, God's going to move. We're not going to tell God he can't move because people aren't okay with it. If you're not okay with it, get okay with it because God does it. If you don't like it, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? God, don't do anything supernatural. So you need to be in church. I applaud you. Applaud yourself. Tonight you're in rock solid faith. I applaud you. There should be 300 people in this class. When you know what you believe, man, you got concrete feet. You can stand firm when the wind blows and when the troubles come. You don't have to be defeated, but you can stand firm in Christ because you know what you believe. So it's important to know that church was not created by man. It was created by God. And people who say they don't believe in church, they don't like to go to church, they have a spiritual problem. There's a spiritual problem inside. The first thing that people do when they backslide is they always avoid me. It's really funny. No, really. Because, you know, I'll see them at the mall. They'll go on the other side of the place. I've seen people duck into the different stores to avoid me. They won't come to church, so when you call them, they avoid the call. And they think they're being sneaky. Well, listen, who's the first person you ignore? Well, usually you ignore Jesus, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But then who's the next one? The preacher. So when you're avoiding me, ding, 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 I get it. Just say it. I'm not living right. All right. I mean, I already know it. You're avoiding me. So usually if somebody's not coming to church on a consistent basis, you can usually find a spiritual issue in their life. It's usually a spiritual problem. Most of the time what it is a priority problem. God's not number one in their life, which is a serious issue since Revelation chapter 3 makes the declaration, if you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Personally, that's not a good situation. What did he say to the church of Ephesus? He said, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. What does that mean? You're not going to heaven. That's what that means. Candlestick's gone. Bye. So we need to recognize that this is not a game. And so, especially in the last days, the Bible makes the declaration that don't forsake the assembling of yourself. I had to remember the King James Version. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. Because, you know, people who avoid church, it's just like this. You ever seen those Wild Kingdom shows where they got the lionesses, you know, they're stalking all the antelopes? Who's the devil? He's a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. What they always do is they never pick the strongest. They prowl until they find the weakest, and then they target the weak. What do they do initially? They separate them from the rest of the herd. The moment you get separated from the herd, you're in trouble. You set yourself up. The devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Dude, I'm moving so quick, I don't know. I would get... Yeah, I'm lost. I know, I actually Pastor Dan said that to me this week. He goes, you know, Pastor, you know, when you preach and you say the verses so quick, you should probably say them slower. And I said, if I'm saying scriptures quick, it's because they're not in my notes. So... tell them to get the notes. Here we go. If I can leave my salvation, when have I crossed the line? When have I gone too far to where I'm no longer going to heaven? How many of you know that that's really important to know? Are you ready for the answer? I don't know. How far? How far is too far? Oh, baby. Let me. Yeah. Well, you know at that moment. When is it too far? When have you gone so far away from God that now your candlestick is removed? There isn't an answer for that, because only God knows the heart. Amen. Only God knows the heart. That's why I will never stand up and say, you know, you're going to hell. I don't tell people that directly unless their lifestyle is so very clear. But, you know, I just know that God knows the hearts of people. Now, listen, if you've got a question whether you're right with God or not, you're not. Amen. If you got to wonder whether you're going to heaven or not, you're probably not. If you've got to wonder if you've gone too far, you've probably gone too far. The moment you've got to wonder if you've gone there, it's too far. Well, what do you mean it's too far? If you don't know the line, it's simple. Because if you've got a wonder, that means you're not right. I know I've given this example before, but it's so powerful. And that is, if this is the line right here, why would you want to get near that line? Stay away from the line. You can't fall over the edge if you're back here. We were in Washington State. We were on the motorcycle trip across country. And in Washington State, there's this massive bridge. I mean, it is huge. Huge, if you're from Texas. Huge. And so you walked up to the edge and looked over, and it was like 100 feet easy drop. Yeah, you know, I'm not afraid of heights, but I wasn't comfortable. I made sure my balance was way back here. Heiny, heiny low, heiny low. You see, when you're near the edge, you're not comfortable. And when you cross over the edge, you're really not comfortable. So the suggestion is simple. Can I lose my salvation? Nope, but you can walk away. When do I know I've gone too far? When you're not comfortable, you've gone too far. Or a scarier part is, you've convinced yourself that you're okay when you're not. Yeah. And if you come to church, you don't have to worry about that because I work on that. You know, in this house, you don't have to wonder whether you're going to feel conviction or not. Because I'm just going to speak the word. I had somebody come up to me one time and say, "You are preaching right to me, right?" And I went, "Sure." It's not strange after I just actually had somebody, I was telling the leadership training course today, I had somebody come up to me at a restaurant this week. It was their first week in our church. And she said, she's walked right up, she was a server, she walked right up, she goes, "I felt such conviction." And I'm thinking, good. Because that means the Holy Spirit's drawing you. I didn't say that. I was in the restaurant, tried to be really nice. But I was very glad. She's so excited to come back to church and get baptized. She wants to get saved and get baptized. Isn't that exciting? So it's important that you and I come to this place. Now let's talk about this real quickly. I'm going to end with this. We can get out early tonight. I wander so much, you know what I mean? I talked about this verse a little bit earlier, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. I just want to read it for you so you see it, about somebody who's committed the unpardonable sin. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift," talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, "and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit moving in the power of God, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." Backsliding is dangerous because you're not always sure you can come back. Listen, man, you should be really aware of that. You know, "Well, you know, I don't want to be afraid of God." Well, sometimes it's okay.
Your God.
I was a little concerned about my father, you know, when I knew I did something wrong. You need to be aware of this. Stay away from the line. Stay away from the line. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know why you got saved? You got saved because you realized what the crap was back there wasn't worth it.
That's right.
Why are you going to go back and eat crap?
Right.
Think about that. You got saved because you saw that what was here wasn't worth it. So now you give your heart to Jesus. You've tasted of God. You've enjoyed Christ. And now you hear the whispering of the sirens in the back. And you decide, "I guess I'm going back there. I'm missing all the fun." You know, it's so important. Please don't play games, especially in these last days. Because the devil, he's not playing tennis. He's playing for keeps. Yes. That's somebody who's committed the unpardonable sin. It is impossible to return. They'll never again have a desire for God, ever, because the Holy Spirit draws them. Oh, no. Backsliding is the danger. When it continues and they've been given over to reprobate minds, it's gone. The Hebrews or the Matthew? The one I just read? Here we go. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and have put him to an open shame."
Is that the backslider?
No, that's actually one step further than the backslider.
Hebrews 6, 4 through 6.
Yes. Yes. That's what this text is talking about.
So just like totally grieving, quenching, resisting the Holy Spirit. Just
it's beyond just a normal backsliding. This is a conscious individual. I do want to say this also. Remember when Brother Tiff was here, he showed us in the book of Thessalonians? Thessalonians is very clear that If you were serving the Lord and you have backslidden and the trumpet of God sounds, the rapture happens. He showed us very clearly in the Word in Thessalonians that you will never have another opportunity. Remember when I was a kid, I'd say, well, when I get there, I'll just get my head cut off. When I get into the tribulation period, I'll make my life right with the Lord. The scripture is very clear that you will never have another opportunity if you've rejected Christ before the rapture. If you're in the rapture and you've had that option, you'll never have another option for Jesus. You'll go to the lake of fire. The next one is Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in the last day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or sin. Now, there's a difference. You see the word practice? We have all sinned. Anybody here not sinned? Anybody been saved and then sinned? Thank God that he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That he is our advocate and our lawyer and he's our redeemer. And thank God for the blood. Amen?
Amen.
But there are people who live in sin. That is different. And that is a lie that we see in the church world today. If you're living in sin, you're not going to heaven. Amen. I've had couples come up to me and say, well, Pastor, we've been living together and, you know, we love each other and we're just going to stay living together until we get married. And I say, whatever. I'm clear. I don't dance with that one. Because if you're living with somebody and having sex with somebody that you're not married to, and you're living in sin, your heart's not right. I had a couple, they came to me and they said, well, they were in their 70s. They were shacking up in their 70s. I guess not all things die, do they? And they said, well, we're living together because if we get married, then we lose some of our benefits. And I'm thinking, well, if you don't get married, you're going to lose all your benefits. If you're living together, ladies, bungee cord your legs. Men, super glue it to the side of your leg. Until you say, I do. And if the man is unwilling to say, I do, to you, or just use you, I don't know, why would you buy the cow when you get the milk for free? And ladies, if he's unwilling to marry you, what are you? Well, we love each other. If he really loves you, he'll honor you. Amen. The word honor, H-O-N-O-R. H-O. R. If he's not willing to honor you, then he doesn't love you. Listen, and if you want to expedite the situation, cross your legs, and he'll either marry you or he'll ditch you. Because if you ain't getting no bennies, hello. And it works both ways, exactly. It's not just the women, it's the men as well. Men, strap it down. I know you think I'm a little crass, but that's okay. It's just the way it is. You got to take care of business. Because you don't want to live in sin.
Amen.
Now we visit sin because we're foolish. Thank God for an advocate. But living in sin is a heart issue again. This is heart issue. We're talking heart issue here. I never knew you because you practice lawlessness. Whoever therefore hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock and the rain descended And the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So watch. You never judge a person according to their gifts. I'll teach you a really good spiritual lesson. Just because somebody moves in the supernatural doesn't mean you judge their walk with God according to the gifts that they're used in. Because the gifts are without repentance. David Nunn Sr., who was noted that every three out of four people he prayed for in the tent that he had, they used to had a tent that sat, I think it was 12 to 15,000 people. This was in the 1950s and 60s. And I was able to sit with this man and actually heard this story out of his own mouth. And he said, you know, you never judge somebody according to their spiritual giftings. He said, because the Bible says, many shall say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do mighty miracles? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. He said, one day I got on the airplane to go do a revival service. And as I got on the airplane, this was like in the 60s and 70s, so. There were two evangelists, and he said, I won't say their names because you would know them. They had a whore under one arm, a drink in the other hand with a cigar. And he said, I got on the plane and they looked at me and I looked at them and I looked shocked. And they said, come on, David, you know as well as we do, when we get up there, God will use us. Listen, God used an ass. He used a donkey. You never judge somebody according to their giftings. You judge them according to their integrity. You judge according to integrity. Now, I've always said this. When the dust clears, baby, I'll still be standing. Not everybody likes me. Not everybody wants to get around me. That's cool. I've had accusations of stealing money. I've had accusations of this church that just would curl the nose hairs and ear hairs and eyelashes and all in the same swatch. But the one thing we've come to one conclusion of, my wife and I, in all these years are, our integrity, when the dust clears, our integrity will still be standing. Amen. You live your life right, and no matter what accusation comes, you'll still be standing when the dust clears.
Amen.
He loves people. Absolutely. You know, I watched one guy, is happening locally, where God was moving in a great revival and touching many, many lives. And what happened was the man was going back to the hotel and screwing his administrator and stopping on the bar on the way back. And he was drunk every night. The last night when he finally got busted, it was down in Texas. And I know this because the worship leader came underneath us for restoration. And he was actually came to the service drunk and preached drunk. And God moved in a most powerful way because he loves people. That guy did not repent. That guy ended up losing everything. Lost his wife, lost his children, lost his ministry. He lost everything. Everything. The wages of sin is death. Choose to be a liver, not a survivor. And that means follow the principles and you can't lose. You don't ever have to backslide. You don't ever have to walk away from your salvation. Never. You never have to if you lay the foundation right and you keep your eyes on Jesus. That means there are people you got to get out of your life. There are people you got to extract from your life who are influencing you instead of you influencing them. Amen. If you're not in church consistently, try it at work. See how far it gets you. You're not going to pray and read the word daily? Don't eat for the amount of days that you don't read. See how long your body reacts. God always parallels. And listen, just because somebody says they're spiritual, don't mean they are. I've seen some amazing things. Oh, by the way, that evangelist came back to this town to set up a new tent. And I went to all the local pastors and I said, this gentleman, his pastime and who he is and who restored him and everything that happened, this man's not right with Jesus. And they supported him. Thank God the tent fell. And they were baptizing animals anyways. The tent fell and they closed the meetings. But all the pastors were very disillusioned. But they didn't listen. Because it's not the gifts that make a person. It's the relationship with Jesus that makes the person. Amen. And I've seen people that clean toilets that are more spiritual than some pastors. No lie. So walk with God. You don't ever have to worry about or be concerned about losing your salvation or walking away from your salvation. You don't ever have to be concerned about leaving your salvation. Never. You never have to be concerned about that if you feed yourself spiritually. And if you're consistent to the house of God. You know, in this house, if everyone's consistent to the house of God in this church, every single Sunday, we would have over 700 people per service. And really, if everyone here really got on fire for the Lord and led one soul to Jesus once a year, next year this church would be 2,800. And then the next year, in 2 years, if everyone just led one soul to Jesus, the next year would be, thank you, 5,600. He's my counter. If everyone got led one soul to the Lord the next year, so we're going to what, third year or our fourth? Third year, we would be running 11,200. I know, huh? I'm with you. 11,200 people in 3 years. Now listen, this area is over 90,000 souls. But you see, you'll never do that if you can never be consistent in your relationship with Jesus. And you'll always wonder, am I living right? Live right, you never have to wonder. Walk right, you never have to wonder. Amen? Amen. Be quick to repent, you never have to wonder. Amen? So, you got to make choices. And serving God is choices. We're very early. Serving God is choices. And a lot of us don't like to talk about this as adults. How old are you, baby girl?
Oh, I'm 11.
Do you have to make your bed? You do have to make your bed. Do you get an allowance? No, I didn't either. Don't worry about it. Do you have any other chores in the house? Yeah, what do you got to do? What else do you got to do?
I have to do my own laundry. I have to wash dishes and I have to sweep the floor.
So she has to sweep the floor, do her laundry, and do the dishes. And make her bed.
And vacuum the living room.
And vacuum the living room. Right. We'll stay with five. That's a lot. I'm very proud of you, by the way. You're going to have a tremendous work ethic. You know what's amazing, though? If she didn't do those things, she'd get in trouble. What do you usually get, grounded? Or do you get a spanking?
She doesn't have to know.
You see that? It actually brought up a great point. She's not sure. You obey you pretty much a lot, don't you? Oh, you don't? I'm telling your mother! I'm telling your mother! Listen, you never have to worry. You know, a child has things to do.
He's a child of obedience.
The child has to obey. When you're in high school, you have to obey. You got to do your homework or you don't pass. You can't graduate if you don't do your work. Yet we come and get saved and Yeah, let's be real, man. You can graduate high school, that's great. You can graduate college, that's phenomenal. But if you don't graduate to heaven, you're screwed. So let's do this thing. It's not about works, it's about relationship. But relationships are work. You don't always feel like you want to do it. I don't always feel like I want to go to church. You know what I want to do today? No. I was up at, I wanted my bike fixed. I didn't want to fix it. I got up at 5 a.m. this morning to pray. And I left my office after prayer. I ran down and grabbed a little bit to eat, ran back upstairs, finished a leadership training material. Then I Skyped to Pakistan and I Skyped to Mexico. Then I ran to the office for my 10 o'clock meeting with the staff. And then I had admin meeting at 11. At 11:30, I had to go into the room and set up for the leadership training. At noon, I did the leadership training until 1. And then I had an admin meeting at 1 to 1:30, another one at 1:30 to 2. And then I had another one from 2 to 3. And then I had to run down and get my lawnmower because it finally got fixed. And then I had to run home and mow the lawn. And then I had to, I went inside and I said to my wife, hello. And then I sat down for 30 minutes and then I came back here. Oh, I'm sorry. Then I had counseling at 6 o'clock at 6:30, and then I came into here. Oh, we're all going to die. I love you. But watch. Today wasn't soothing. It was really long. It's important to know that I'm a little tired tonight, to be honest with you. You know, my Tuesdays are usually 14 to 16s. And, you know, I'm just tired. And there are times I don't want to be here. You know, everyone thinks the pastor always wants to be in church. It's not true. There are Sundays I wouldn't mind going on vacation. But, you know, you get in the presence of the Lord. You get to church. You make yourself go to church. You arrest yourself. I had somebody once say to me, well, you know, it's Sunday morning, and, you know, that's kind of early. I said, the service is at 11 o'clock. If you can sleep till 11, you might have issues anyways.
Big time. Thanks for the Holy Spirit.
Man, you got to get up. Get to the house of God. Arrest yourself. You know, this is not a game. This is for eternity, man. It's not for life. This is for eternity. And so you don't ever have to taste of backsliding. Ever. You never have to. It's your choice. Live right. Live successful. And you'll never have to wonder a day in your life. Now, if you have wondered, you can simply get right. It just takes a millisecond with Jesus. Lord, I need to get right with you. Jesus, forgive me. I want to get back in alignment. Lord, and you know what the devil always says? You can't get where you were. That's a lie from hell. No matter how far you've fallen, he'll take you not only where you were, but beyond. Because, listen, he knew you were going to do stupid stuff anyways. He's just waiting for you to turn so you don't burn. I like those little statements. They're cute. So from my heart to yours, You got to work. And if you think that this is just a breeze and that you're just going to breeze into heaven, you're probably deceiving yourself. And if you're thinking you can live any way you want in sin and you can ask God any second you want to forgive you, you're deceiving yourself too. Because we don't always know when our last moment will be. There was a tragedy, I think, this week. Another young man died. I think Terry knew him. Terry, did you know that guy? Terry, he's not there. Who is that young man that just passed? The young man that just passed, you put his stuff up on. Did you know him?
Yeah.
How old was he?
He was probably.
Car accident. Man, don't bank that you have tomorrow. Do it today. It's just real. Father, I thank you for this great group of people, your children. God, they love you, or they wouldn't be here. Lord, so I just ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, there's no other way, but by your Holy Spirit, you will change our lives to be more like you. God, we ask that you will meddle in our lives and that you will bring great conviction in our life when we're wrong. Amen. Lord, we don't want you to have small conviction. We want you to drive us to our knees conviction. Lord, because we don't want to play. We don't want to take a chance. We don't want to wonder. We want to know. So Holy Spirit, put a hunger in our heart to pray. Put a hunger in our heart to read the word. Lord, I pray you'll help us arrest our flesh to be in church consistently. That, Lord, we will please you and fulfill our purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wednesday nights, we need workers. If you're not doing anything in this church, if you're not working, it's a great opportunity. There's a lot to do. We have a lot of children that we minister to, about 120 children on Wednesday nights. We need bus drivers. We need bus riders. And all you got to do is you got to be the sheriff in town on the bus. And then what you got to do if you want to come here, my brother-in-law doesn't really like children. My lion, you know, Mike Taylor doesn't really like children. I mean, he loves the baby, but he's not really like a child age person. But you know what he does? He comes in and he cooks. He doesn't really hang out with the kids. He cooks. So, I mean, there's a lot to do. In this house, you're not allowed to be lazy. So if you're doing nothing, you've got to do something. You understand? So do something. Wednesdays they need workers. Sunday they need work. We need some children's workers. And remember, we never beg for children's workers. You know, it's a 7-page application. 4 reference checks comes back in. One person said to me, you know, Pastor, I was a dealer and got busted when I was a kid. Is that coming up? No. Well, the only thing that's coming up is if you've molested children. That's it. So other than that, everyone, it will pass. We need you to work. We need you to work. We need you to work. I'm a pusher. I'm a driver. You're not saved to suck air and just to go to heaven. You're saved to work.
Amen.
So don't be lazy. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be a slug. No, you got to say it right. You got to say it right. I didn't say slug. I said, say it. Let's say it again. Don't be a slug. Okay? So if you're not doing anything, then you need to get involved. You need to go to the hub. You need to go to the children's booth there and tell them, listen, I need to sign up and work on a Wednesday. Go to the hub. See, I need to work on Wednesday. Or you send me your name, and I'll get it to the right people. But it's time to work.
Amen.
One of the most frustrating things for me as your pastor is when they said to me last week, we had to spend $100 a week to hire a driver for Wednesday nights because not all the drivers aren't all willing.
Don't you have to have like a CDL?
You have to have a CDL. We pay for a CDL to be obtained. And so it bothers me because we're now taking $400 a month out of the kingdom to pay somebody that somebody in the house can do. You don't. I think you needed one more because you have a CDL, but we actually will help. Terps actually said that he's willing to train and get everybody trained that needs it for free. It's a great price. He doesn't even come to this church. He's willing to do it for free. So if you're willing, listen, food bank is now allowing us to come under them. Now, what you need to know is they don't ever do churches, ever. It's against the rules. But they came here and said, you are the only people doing this in the entire county. Nobody else is doing what you're doing for the children. And we'll support you. So now we are able to pay only 16, I think it's 16 cents a pound. It's saving the church almost $2,500 a month.
Amen.
And
to see and everything. And
Extra food. Ed works.
Amazing.
I would never have anticipated Ed to be a worker in the children's ministry. I would never have anticipated it, but man, he wrangles those kids because some of those kids are rough, man. Their mentality of those children, you know, that we minister to is they don't have to respect you because you're an adult. If you don't respect them, they don't respect you. It's a different mentality. So we're actually transitioning them, and the schools are changing. Now the children are to a place where many of them are starting to come on Sunday mornings, and they're the ones around the altar worshiping.
Yeah.
So we need workers, and you're the workers. I do my 16s. So we need you. Let's get busy. Turn to someone and say, don't be slow. Y'all got your reasons. Y'all got your reasons, and they're all valid in your head. But man, there's one thing that you cannot validate. When you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he said, what did you do for me? And you said, well, nothing really, because I was a little bit too busy. It won't fly. Remember, you want to have crowns to throw at his feet. That means you've done works for the kingdom. Show me your faith, I'll show you my works. It's not works first, it's faith first. Works always domino. Okay? Lord, bless the offering. Thank you, Jesus.